until I come, Paul said, give yourselves to the public reading of the word. So we're going to do that this morning. We'll begin reading in verse number 10 and go through verse number 12. Would you read aloud with me, please? Then behold, a hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. He said to me, O Daniel, man of high esteem, understand the words that I'm about to tell you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. And when he had spoken this word to me, I stood up trembling. Then he said to me, do not be afraid, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart on understanding this and on humbling yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to your words. Let's pray. Father, bless us this morning as we attempt to understand your word. Bring understanding by the Spirit, and let us know what thus saith the Lord today to this church and to us, the complete meaning of it, and the fullness of your word in our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Daniel chapter 10 provides an insight. Actually, chapter 9 and chapter 10 provide an insight into one of the most, if not the most, productive and moving prayer times in the Old Testament and possibly in the entire Bible. By the time of Daniel's account, he is most likely past 80 years of age. The captivity of Israel in Babylon has just ended, maybe a year or two before this particular prophecy. That lasted for 70 years, and Daniel was in Babylon for that entire time. His habit of prayer was well known back in Daniel chapter 6. It's clear that Daniel prayed three times a day facing Jerusalem. He was what we would call a prayer warrior. What he went through in prayer, what he went through in his times with God, gives us a clear insight into what we might go through if we would just take the time to pray like Daniel prayed. Now, to be truthful, reading Daniel chapter 10 and understanding Daniel's experiences will scare some of us. Daniel's experiences make it clear that when we pray, we enter into spiritual warfare. We are promised that we'll win the battle, but for sure, it will still be a battle and it will still be difficult. Let's see what Daniel went through as he prepared to pray, and let's ask what we can learn from this vital experience, because we need to be a church with prayer as a priority. Number one, prepare to pray effectively. Look at what Daniel went through in verses 2 and 3, where it says, in those days, I, Daniel, had been mourning for 3 entire weeks. I did not eat any tasty food, nor did meat or wine enter my mouth, nor did I use any ointment at all until the entire 3 weeks were completed. When Daniel looked at his people, some of whom were now ready to return to Jerusalem and rebuild Israel, when he looked at the state of his people and their needs, he immediately began to mourn. And for 3 full weeks, he cried out to God. He cut himself off from fun and games. He didn't engage in any pleasantries. He was serious before God in prayer. He ate only bread and water. His appetite for God to speak to him was greater than his appetite for fancy foods. He cut himself off from anything that might give him pleasure so that he could enter into the presence of God. He did not care for his personal appearance during that time. How could he appear all right when his people's situation was so grave? He did not falsify the situation, put on a face to make it okay. He simply found himself in the need to pray for his people. There are 3 lessons to us that come out of these 2 verses of scripture. First of all, prayer should be viewed as foundational to the ministry that God has called us to fulfill. The strength of this church, the strength of any church, is not gauged by the number of people who attend. It's gauged by the strong foundation of prayer that undergirds all that happens. We should be diligent in planning prayer times. Most of you keep calendars. Some of you keep them on your phone. Some of you keep them on your computer. You should place on your computer strong times of prayer on your daily calendar. You should write in times when you are going to have moments with God that nothing can take from you. We should be willing to give up or lay aside anything that would deter us from praying. There are so many things that come up in a day's time that would interfere. What's most important? What's the important thing to do? What's the priority that you and I need to keep? We need to keep a priority of prayer. The second thing I want to show you from this passage of scripture is in verse 7. And it is this: if you're going to pray, not only do you prepare to pray effectively, but you prepare to pray alone. When Daniel began to pray, his friends were genuinely scared. What scared them was this: they knew Daniel was dedicated to God. When he began to pray, they could see a change come over him, and they didn't know how to respond. They could sense in their spirits that something was happening, but they had no basis for knowing what it was. All they knew to do was hide, so they hid. There are a couple of lessons here for us, actually three. The first is this: prayer is hard work. Now, I told you a moment ago, Doris and I have spent many years in full-time ministry. I can tell you this: give a banquet and people will generally come. Call a prayer meeting and it's a different story, because it's easier to eat than pray. In fact, it's easier to do almost anything than pray. It's hard work. There are believers that shun prayer because of the physical and spiritual energy that must be expended when we pray. But as Daniel experienced, it's worth every ounce of energy just to have a minute in the presence of God. The second lesson we learn from these verses is this: prayer is not a restricted calling. It's a foundational spiritual discipline for every believer. No one is such a Christian that they do not need to pray. While some may have a special gift of prayer, and in fact, I could point out a few people I know in this congregation right now who seem to have a special God-given effectiveness when they pray, all believers are enjoined by the Apostle Paul: pray without ceasing. And the third lesson from these two verses is this: don't shun the supernatural. A moment ago, we had the supernatural happen in this service because someone spoke and someone interpreted. And through that, this church was edified. That's supernatural. The gifts of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit gives us power to do things that we could not do without the Spirit helping us. The gifts of the Spirit are not synonymous with talents. Talents are God-given abilities. You can do those things. Once you realize you've got that talent, you can do those things without any spiritual help. But the gifts of the Spirit require spiritual help. It's miraculous when God comes in our midst and helps us in areas that we don't know. Don't shun the supernatural. Don't be afraid of the touch of God. Don't be afraid to come into God's presence. Don't be afraid to speak in other tongues and give God glory. Don't be afraid to pray for healing and believe that it will happen. Don't shun the supernatural. The third area of preparation that I want to bring to your mind today is: prepare to spend a lot of energy when you pray. Twice during this entire time of chapter 10, verse 8 and verse 17, twice during this intense prayer time, Daniel declared that his strength had left him. Now, there's a biblical principle at work here. Remember the beatitude that says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall inherit the kingdom of heaven." There's a principle that if you're full, you don't need filling. The problem is we may be full of the wrong thing. So what Daniel did was this: he emptied himself. He prayed until there was no more left in his spirit. He was empty. He had nothing. He was impoverished of spirit. He was drained both physically and spiritually. He was empty. Because the truth is this, Daniel had to be emptied before he could be filled. The emptying included any dependency on his physical strength, any desire for physical food, any desire to plot his own way or see his own path. His physical strength could not see him through. His vision was so big, only God could bring it to pass. Only God could make it happen. The Apostle Paul declared this, "When I am weak, then I am strong." That was Daniel's experience. Strength from God did not come until human strength was exhausted. Let me give you a couple lessons from these two verses. An emptying may be needed in your life and mine before a filling can take place. Did you hear me? An emptying may be needed in your life and mine before a filling can take place. When I have exhausted my store of resources, when my strength is gone ere the day is half done, when I reach the end of my hoarded resources, the Father's full giving is only begun. Some of you remember those words and some of you wonder, did he just make that up? No, it's an old song. That's it. When we've gone as far as we can go and we're empty, that's when God can take over. And his work will blow our minds. And his work will get us into areas that we couldn't even imagine. Will take us places we could never go. So depleting all human resources is sometimes necessary before you and I can fully depend on God. The fourth area of preparation is this. Prepare to be attacked when you pray. That's scary. Verse 7, verse 8, verse 13. All three of these verses in this chapter tell us about attacks that Daniel suffered. The first attack was this, loneliness. He found himself alone. He was misunderstood. All he was trying to do was seek God, and his friends left him. Secondly, he had to be attacked by his own flesh. I don't know how long you've ever fasted, but when you get to 2 or 3 days of fasting, your body craves food. And especially if you're a caffeineaholic, which some of you undoubtedly are, because it's an allowable Christian sin. Or a glutton, that's an allowable Pentecostal sin. He was attacked by his own body that cried out, "Feed me, take care of me." Strength was sapped. And, verse 13, he was under satanic attack. When he prayed, there was a battle in the heavens because the angels started coming toward him. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him. That's the Old Testament Psalm 34. And it's true. The angel came toward Daniel when he prayed, but Daniel was praying for the will of God to be accomplished. And what the enemy does not want is that the will of God would be accomplished. So the enemy withstood the angel of the Lord, all because one man prayed and just kept praying. While 3 weeks went by, while the clash occurred in the spirit world in the heavens. I don't understand all that, but I tell you it's real. Because when we pray, God will move heaven and earth to answer our prayer. And especially when we're praying the will of God, the will of God. The scripture says, it is not his will that any should perish. When we start praying for people to come to Christ, when we start bombarding heaven over nations and lands and peoples that need to know the Lord, God moves and the enemy attacks. Well, here's a lesson for us. The enemy of our souls will use every imaginable way to divert us from the ministry of prayer. Outside attacks, trials and tests. Inside attacks, temptations. All of these things will be employed to keep us from the ministry of prayer. And the second lesson in this particular passage is this. Our prayer must be to bring about the will of God. That's how Jesus teaches us how to pray, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." God, help us to pray like that. God's will is victory. God's will is healing. God's will is strength. God's will is hope. God's will is power. We must pray. The fifth lesson is this, as we prepare to pray. When you pray, prepare to be ushered into the supernatural. Verses 5, 10, and 18. Daniel didn't try to defend or give a long explanation of exactly what happened in this process. He just recorded it, so we'll just learn from it. Verse 5, Daniel saw a certain man. His prayer led him into the presence of God, and there in the presence of God, in the throne room of God, he had a glimpse of Jesus. We know it was Jesus because it is so closely associated with the vision that John the Revelator had in chapter 1 of the Revelation when he turned to see the voice that spoke behind him, and he saw one with feet like brass and eyes like fire. It's the same one. This is the same one. Here in verse 5 of chapter 10 of Daniel, Daniel saw Jesus, and it was a result of his praying. Wow. He would never be the same. That image was burned on his mind. He knew the Lord. In verse number 10, the one that he saw touched him. That touch from God made Daniel's hands shake and his knees knock together. He didn't even pretend to be strong enough to stand, and he crumpled to the floor before the one who touched him. Honestly, this morning, that's what I came for. I came for a touch from God. The music's been wonderful. It led us into God's presence, the communion, the prayer time. It's all been wonderful. And it's all been so that we could experience, each one of us individually, at some point in this service, just one touch from heaven. A touch that would leave us feeling weak and yet powerful. Emptied and yet full. A touch from God. And then in verse 18, the one who touched him again. And this time, the touch didn't weaken him. The touch strengthened him. And he was able to stand up. And he was able to proclaim the word of the Lord. Here it is, friend. Can we pray with this level of faith? The level of faith that Daniel had? Can we, by faith, raise our expectations to the point that we expect Jesus to appear when we pray? Can we come to church with an expectation pounding within us? At some point during this service this morning, we're going to meet the Lord. He's going to become as real to us as the person standing next to us. Earlier, Pastor Mike had us just reach out and make physical contact with the person standing next to us, and we prayed for each other. There's going to come a time in this service when you're going to feel a hand, but you're going to turn around and there's nobody visible touching you. And yet you know in your spirit that you're being touched. It's the touch of the Almighty. It's the hand of God reaching down through space and time, answering your prayer and giving you an assurance that you've not prayed in vain. He heard your prayer when you first called upon His name, and He came to touch you. And here's a strong Pentecostal lesson. Our belief system tells us that it's possible that when we touch Him and He touches us, signs and wonders and miracles will begin to happen. Wow. At some point, there's going to be a mighty rushing wind that will fill all the house where we're assembled, and we'll all be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And we'll begin to speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God gives utterance. And 3,000 will get saved. And people will be turned upside down in their believing because they'll see the hand of God move. Also from this chapter, prepare to be changed when you pray. Verses 11, 14, and 16. Verse 11, O Daniel, man of high esteem, understand the words I'm about to tell you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. And when he had spoken this word to me, I stood up trembling. Daniel received understanding. He understood he needed to stand up. He needed to stand in the presence of God. You stand up to receive a charge. He was about to receive a charge. So he stood up in the presence of God. God's going to charge you this morning as we pray. And then verse 14. Now I have come to give you an understanding of what will happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision refers to the future days. Daniel was about to get understanding of things he could not know. You see, the Holy Spirit has a way of revealing to you things you could not know other than by the Spirit's revelation to you. Daniel was about to receive that. And then in verse 19, he said, O man of high esteem, do not be afraid. Peace be with you. Take courage and be courageous. Now, as soon as he spoke to me, Daniel said, I received strength and said, may my Lord speak. In other words, I'm ready now to prophesy. I'm ready to write the prophecy. I'm ready to run with the prophecy. I'm ready to go with the message because I've been in God's presence. He's lifted me up. He's touched me and he's spoken to me. Daniel went before the Lord with a heart that was burdened. People that had been in captivity for 70 years, just been released to return to Jerusalem and rebuild Israel. And only in prayer were his eyes opened. We face an ever-increasing secularization of everything around us. Bible-based ethics are disappearing from our society. We can't even imagine what it will be like when our grandchildren are adults, should Jesus tarry his coming. But I have a word for you this morning. God knows. He's the one who can work in our hearts to give us a vision of a preferred future. He's the one who can speak and the winds and the waves obey, specifically the winds and the waves of the trouble that's stirring in our hearts. My goal this morning is to get you to pray, so I'm going to make three applications of this message. Three applications, simple applications, and yet the will of God for us. Taking lessons in the school of prayer from great warriors like Daniel, I will open myself to fasting, self-denial, and waiting on God. I will desire for God to move more than I desire to have my own needs met. I will make a new commitment to take whatever steps necessary to make prayer a priority in my daily life. Some of you are filling in the blanks and you're quickly getting that filled in. I will take whatever steps necessary to make prayer a priority in my daily life. Now I want you to bow your heads and I want you to pray about that. Would you do that? Simply bow your heads all over this room. You can look at that, what you've just written if you want to, or look at that point. But if you'll find yourself in a place of prayer, would you commit yourself to have the strongest ministry of daily prayer you've ever had in your life? Let's pray about that and pray aloud. We're Pentecostals. Pray aloud. It's okay. Father, we just pray right now. We pray for the daily prayer lives of ourselves and our friends who sit with us in church. We pray, Lord, that you'll speak to us. That you'll minister to us. Show us how to rearrange our schedules so that prayer takes priority. Show us how to give ourselves to prayer, to the ministry of prayer. Show us how to rebuild our calendars if necessary so that we're praying more. Make us a praying church, O God, taking up the priesthood of the believer as we go into the very throne room of God to make our expressions of prayer known. Help us come boldly to the throne of grace to find help in time of need. Thank you, Jesus. The second application is this: I will spend and be spent in the ministry of prayer. No amount of energy will be too much to spend in seeking the will of God for my life and those about me. I will commit to being a part of the ministry of prayer of this church praying for the needs of this community, this state, my country, and the peoples of the earth. I'll even go so far as to contact Juan Ortiz, who'll lead the prayer meeting at 5 o'clock this afternoon, for more information of how I can be involved. I'm praying that prayer groups will spring up all over the city, led by you and me, as we seek the Lord. Will you make this a matter of prayer?